Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Smoke jumpers from the lower 48 are coming north as lightning continues to spark wildfires across the state. The Alaska Fire Service is bringing in an additional 32 smoke jumpers from outside to help Alaska-based smoke jumpers already busy responding to fires. Wildfire managers reported 4 new blazes yesterday. There are 85 active fires statewide, 9 of which are being fought. So far this season, 180 fires have burned 26,000 acres in Alaska. The city of Fairbanks could soon take ownership of the abandoned Polaris Hotel. The owner of the derelict downtown high-rise, Anchorage developer Mark Marlowe, did not pay past due property taxes by a May 25th deadline, and City Council member David Pruse says that opens a path for the city to acquire the building, beginning with consideration of an ordinance at a Monday night City Council meeting.
I'm introducing for a second reading an ordinance that designates the Polaris building a public interest property for the city of Fairbanks. Once we do that and sign that ordinance, the Fairbanks North Star Borough will deed it over to the city of Fairbanks when we pay the Fairbanks North Star Borough for the back taxes they're owed.
Pruse says the tax bill is $38,000. Pruse heads up a group pursuing city ownership, demolition, and redevelopment of the Polaris property.
Performing Arts Center, Convention Center, a very nice, viable place for downtown Fairbanks.
No money has been secured for the estimated $4 million demolition and the much costlier redevelopment. Pruse says the city owning the building is the first step to seeking federal support for the projects, but fellow council member Jerry Cleworth has reservations about the plan.
If we can't get funds to tear it down or demolish it, it just becomes a burden to the taxpayers of the area.
The 11-story Polaris is Fairbanks' tallest building and has been vacant for 18 years. Mark Marlowe tried to get federal funding to redevelop the former hotel into apartments. A state geologist has returned to Fairbanks after a 3-week deployment helping to monitor, analyze, and document activity at and around the Kilauea volcano in Hawaii. Catherine Mulliken grew up on the Big Island and says she was anxious as news from home broke last month.
Really stressful for me to be here in Fairbanks and watching it all unfold. So I initially had hoped to maybe just go and volunteer or just to be there would have felt better. And then when work offered to send me, I was just really grateful. It was really good to be there and be able to help out.
Mulliken says it's sad to see homes destroyed, but the work with the Hawaii Volcano Observatory was interesting. She says her tasks included sampling molten lava flowing out of the ground, an exciting but dangerous operation.
Wary of all the potential hazards, including electrical lines and then also falling trees, vegetation burning, and methane blasts from that.
Mulliken describes the experience as unique given that the lower east rift zone on Kilauea last erupted in 1955. She says while the current activity has drawn worldwide attention, Hawaiians live with an understanding of their island's dynamic nature.
On the Big Island, especially in Puna, that's something that everyone really appreciates. Even before this eruption, there's always change, you know, roads being covered or beaches that you used to go to. And so my parents' generation always talked about different areas that I didn't grow up with because they'd been covered up by Mauna'ulu or Pu'u'o'o flows. And now to see areas that I grew up with be covered is a reminder of that the world is just very dynamic and things are always changing.
Mulliken says lava flowing into the ocean over the last month has extended a delta nearly a mile, noting that the 1955 Lower East Rift Zone eruption lasted 3 months. She says it's unclear how long the current activity might continue. I'm Dan Bross.